May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 1107. 1107. When some sweet promise warms our heart and cheers us under every care, it is the Spirit's gracious part to take that word and fix it there. Hymn 1107.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We'll read three shorter readings this evening. The first reading from the book of Psalms, number 61. Psalm 61. To the chief musician upon Nagina, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle for ever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God for ever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name for ever, that I may daily perform my vows. Now from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and chapters 4 and chapter 25. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 4. And in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defence. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. And now Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defenced city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. May God bless that reading from his holy word. And may he help us now in prayer. Most holy, merciful, almighty and gracious Lord God of heaven and of earth, we desire to approach unto thee in and through thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do ask thy help now as we come before thee in prayer. Lord, though we come as sinners, Lord, may we have some boldness in our approach. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We pray, Lord, that thou draw us to thyself, and draw us now as we come in prayer. Though we may feel something of our sinnership, our unworthiness, yet, Lord, may we see the mercy that is in Jesus for needy sinners. And grant, Lord, that thy blessing might rest upon us. O Lord, we pray that thou cause us to approach unto thee, find that power, and find that access, and find that liberty as we desire to pour out our hearts before thee. We pray, Lord, that thou help us to frame the words. Lord, we pray for a spirit of real prayer. We come seeking that confession of our many sins and failings. We ask, Lord, that thou will give that spirit of true confession to us each, that we may, Lord, call upon thee and plead for thy mercy through the precious blood of Jesus. We thank thee for that promise that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, we do pray then that true repentance and godly sorrow that work is salvation, not to be repented of. O Lord, may we not have the sorrow of the world that work is death. Do, Lord, deliver us from just the outward form. May there be a reality in our religion. Oh, do grant, Lord, that we may know and feel something of ourselves as sinners, know something of thee, Lord Jesus, as that Saviour of sinners. Show us that loving man. Oh, do, Lord, draw us to thyself, that we may be granted a glimpse of that loving man that rules the courts of bliss. Oh, we do pray that thou lead us to thyself, lead us away from any hope in and of ourselves. Give us to see that our own righteousness is ours filthy rags. Give us to see the moth-eaten garment that is ours. Lord, prevent us from weaving our own fig leaf covering. May we see the necessity of the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Or may we be made willing to cast aside our garment and come to thee for washing and for clothing, to be washed in the Redeemer's precious blood, to be clothed with his spotless life, to find that robe of righteousness perfectly suiting and meeting our every need. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt teach us each and lead us by thy Spirit, leading us out of ourselves and to thyself. Lord, remember us then, we pray, as we gather for worship. Oh, do, Lord, meet with each who have come up to the house of God this evening. Oh, Lord, as they ventured to come and worship once more. Oh, Lord, be with each heart that has that desire, that hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Do satisfy thy poor with bread. Do break the bread of life in our midst, we pray. Oh, do lead us to fountains of living water. Oh, do, Lord, bind up any that are broken in heart. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou remember any that are listening also, who are prevented from being here, but whose desire is to be found here. Who, Lord, have that void in their heart the world cannot fill. We pray that thou wilt fill it, Lord, that thou wilt pour in thy love into our hearts. Do, Lord, then have mercy upon us. Lord, we pray for this church and congregation. We pray for the deacons in their office here. Lord, remember them and help them, that they may fulfill their office. And Lord, we pray that thou guide them and direct them. Bless the church, we pray. Do, Lord, add to them such as should be saved. Gather from the congregation and into the church here, we plead. Lord, do pour out thy Spirit. Lord, do bind them together and knit their hearts together in gospel love, and do bless them indeed and make them a blessing. Lord, we thank thee for all that thou hast done over many years in this place. And we pray that thou wilt continue thy work here. Lord, we ask that thou wilt remember the congregation. Lord, do encourage them week by week. Oh, Lord, be with any who, in whose heart there is that desire. Lord, to take up their cross and to follow thee, who may feel that they should be walking in a gospel obedience, yet find those hindrances. Well, we do pray, Lord, at that set time to favour them, that might come and they find the love of Christ constraining them. We do pray, Lord, that thou break down every barrier, and Lord, constrain them with thy love. And Lord, may they know the blessing of sitting at thy table, to do this in remembrance of thee. Lord, do be glorified, we pray, in the bringing forth of thy children. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt help those that have taken up their cross to walk out their profession before the world. Lord, do uphold them and support them. We thank thee, Lord, for thy promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lord, we do pray to be given thy grace and to seek it day by day. Lord, do lead us into the truth as it is in Jesus. Guide us in our walk, in our conversation. Lord, do guide us with thy counsel, and afterward receive us unto glory. Lord, may we prove thy shoes shall be as iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Who strengthen any who feel bodily weakness or mental weakness, those who are pressed from all sides, bearing the heat and burden of the day, who find hardly time to think. Lord, we do pray that thou would appear for them. May they be enabled to cast all their care upon thee, and prove that thou carest for them. O Lord, do be that burden bearer for each, and grant thy all-supporting arms of love and mercy to be around them and underneath. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Lord, may we feel them bearing us up, bringing us through. Lord, we do pray for older friends with the burdens and infirmities that older age brings. As the outward man and woman decays, may the inner be renewed day by day. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt support them and comfort them as the evening time of life draws on. And Lord, as the considerations of a never-ending eternity are brought before them, oh, may they sweetly prove thy presence. Oh, may they hear thee speak to them, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Oh, to know that rest of faith, to know that all is well while life endure, and well when called to die, that there is that rest that remains for the people of God. And Lord, do it, help us each to seek to enter into that rest. Oh, do grant that seeking spirit, do quicken the dead, do awaken sinners to see their need. Oh, do, Lord, appear in these things. Oh, do, Lord, grant that new life, the evidences of it, the new birth, oh, that necessity ye must be born again. Oh, then, Lord, do appear. Do bless the children and young people. May our children prove to be thy children. And may they grow up to be pillars in the church, mothers in Israel. Oh, Lord, do remember the needs of thy church here below, and send out labourers into the harvest. Oh, Lord, do lay the burden of the ministry upon thy servants to be. Do exercise them, Lord, we pray, and do equip them to go forth to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. May there be the anointing of thy Spirit and the confirming of them. Oh Lord, we do pray that we may not suffer a famine of hearing the word of God, Lord, that thou wilt send out labourers into the harvest. Lord, we do pray then for thy blessing. Lord, thou knowest what is needed. Thou knowest, Lord, what we have need of before we ask. Lord, thou knowest what our tomorrow is and every untrodden step of our lives. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt make provision for us. Lord, we may have that meeting of our temporal needs, food, clothing, and shelter. And Lord, may we have a thankful heart for these and every mercy. Lord, remember us in our nation, and oh Lord, in this dark and evil day in which we are called to live, do help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. There are hopes to stay. Oh Lord, do grant us that strength to stand for what we believe. Do, Lord, help us to do what is right in thy sight, and keep us from bringing reproach on thy holy name. Oh Lord, do remember then every hill of Zion, thy one church in this nation and throughout the earth. Those churches, Lord, local gatherings connected with us, both here and overseas. Remember them, we pray. And do, Lord, encourage thy people in this day of much evil. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt turn the tide of sin. And Lord, that thou wilt work mightily in pouring out thy spirit and turning the hearts of many away from idolatry to serve the living God. So help us, Lord, and hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And do forgive all that is amiss, and all that we have asked amiss, and anything that may be spoken amiss. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We ask all in that precious and worthy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 399. Amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Hymn 399.
Thank you.
Will you turn with me to our first reading, the book of Psalms, number 61. With the Lord's help, this evening I'll speak to you from the closing part of verse 2. The book of Psalms, number 61, and the closing part of verse 2. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The book of Psalms, number 61, and the closing part of the second verse. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The whole verse reads, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We are told this is a psalm of David. Some of the psalms over the above the first verse is written a description of the time or the occasion, but not in this psalm. We are just told it is a psalm of David. But from the words used and the sentiments expressed, we can tell that it's David in a day of trouble. David who desires to find some peace. David who desires to find that refuge, that shelter. He says, thou hast been a shelter for me. You can look back to those times when the Lord has been pleased to give him the sense of his presence, thereby giving him some peace. And now he cries unto the Lord for it again. A renewing of it. Another time of trouble has come. The Lord has permitted it to come. And in the trouble, the Lord has sanctified it. How do we know? Because David is caused to cry for help. What a wonderful thing if in our afflictions, in our difficulties, in our troubles, these things are used of the Lord to bring us to cry for help. We know the word, call upon me in a day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But will you? Will you? Do you? Have you? Have I? You know, the world has its troubles, but they're not sanctified. Oh, they have their troubles, they have their afflictions. These things are not just for the living family of God, but for the living family of God, they are used by God. They are used to bring us. Those waves of trouble are used to bring us closer, to propel us nearer to him, used to drive us to him, to his feet, as the waves crashing upon a rock. So these waves, under the Lord's divine direction, are used to bring his people to this rock, to this rock. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. It's a a picture of being far off, isn't it? Of course, David knew times when he wasn't able to go up to the house of God. He knew times when he delighted to. I was glad when they said unto me. He could sing that song, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." He had those days when he found the Lord's house to be a refuge, a sanctuary. He found the Lord's presence there. And he felt some peace. But at times he was at a distance. At times in his life he wasn't able. He was prevented. Those days when he was hunted by Saul, he wasn't able to get up to Jerusalem. Other times he was at a distance, naturally speaking. But he proved, didn't he, the Lord was able to give him that sense of peace. When Ziklag was burned with fire, when the people spoke of stoning him, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Not by being able to go up to the house of God, but in a time like this, a time like Psalm 61. Oh, those things were used of the Lord to bring him to seek in prayer the Lord's face. Hear my cry. Hear my cry. Oh, is that how you and I respond? Oh, in our day of trouble or adversity, are they used to bring you? Are they used to propel you? Are you compelled out of necessity to call upon the name of God? Have you known what it is to be brought into a place just like David? Maybe you can look back to a day of trouble and you can think back to it and how the Lord blessed you with a liberty in prayer, an access. How that time, maybe the memory of the trouble isn't pleasant, but something has sweetened the memory of it. And it was how the Lord was pleased to use it in your heart. How he was pleased to cause you to cry out for his help. You didn't feel any worth in and of yourself. You felt a necessity. You needed his help. And the present situation, the Lord sweetly used it to lift you above all of your own natural sense of unworthiness, and out of your lips came the cry of help. Friends, there's sweet times when some access is given. When there's been a laying hold of him. Oh, what a time it was for that woman with her issue of blood. How that was a grievous thing for her. And she had sought the help of others and found no help, no meaningful help. And she had spent all that she had and had only got worse. You know, these things, friends, there's a reality to them, isn't there? And the hymn writer says, doesn't he? Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Oh, have you? Will you? Lead me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me. Oh, you wonder how he might lead you. How will he accomplish the answer to that prayer? How does he lead his people? How does he lead them to the rock? And what is this rock? Who is it that is higher than I? Is it a rock? Lead me. Lead me. You know, I thought of a couple of instances in connection to this text this evening. And the first is Asa. At that time of trouble that the Lord permitted to come. You know, Asa had his army. He had a big army. We're told he had 300,000 men of Judah bearing targets and spears. Then out of Benjamin, he had 280,000, so 280,000, all were mighty men of valor. How will the Lord bring Asa? When he has such a vast army, well, he'll permit Zerah the Ethiopian to come with his million men. Some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord. You know, don't think, friends, anybody has too much that the Lord can't lead them and bring them. They shall come. You know, the Lord's divine purposes, oh, his purposes will be fulfilled. They shall come. Asa, with his great army, would know a day when he would cry out for the Lord. And so he did. Asa went out against him, set the battle in array, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. Lead me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, that refuge, that place of safety. Oh, that sure support in the day of adversity and trouble. That solid foundation, that ground of sure support, rock that is higher than I. Oh, is that something attractive to you this evening? Oh, maybe the Lord is weakening your strength in the way. Maybe the Lord is shaking your foundation. Maybe the Lord is permitting waves and billows to go over you. Oh, will will you be among those that cry out for his help? Oh, do you know the help that is in the Lord Jesus Christ? For he, surely, is that rock, that the rock of our salvation. Oh, that man of his right hand made strong for himself, that rock, that sure support, and is this precious text this evening, this language of David, does it not have its fullness in a gospel day when we view something of the person of Jesus Christ? Lead me to the rock, the one with who it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Maybe you feel to have nothing this evening. Well, friends, you have this friend of sinners, this friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, you have the name of Jesus to plead. You have a strong habitation. And we read, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And then you turn a few chapters over and you find Jehoshaphat. And again, there is a day of trouble. The Moabites, the Amorites coming against Jehoshaphat, coming to battle. Why has the Lord permitted it? Why is he permitting these things to happen? Why is it not a day of peace? Why is it a day of trouble? Well, the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is determined that his people will know something of his name. A faithful God. He's determined for his people to be instructed in their lives, to be led and taught to know him and to put their trust in him. And he knows exactly how to do it. And he brings situations and causes things to come and then supplies what is needed. He gives them that directing. He turns their eyes away from their enemies up unto him. And Jehoshaphat is caused to call upon the name of the Lord. And he says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Is that where you are? You don't know what to do. Maybe you have got no answers this evening. Maybe the Lord has so backed you into a corner and so positioned you and ordered things for you in such a way that every thought of yours, every intention, every purpose has come to nothing. And now you've run out of answers. Neither know we what to do. Oh, you have no wisdom. You cannot order your affairs. The Lord has weakened your confidence in your own self. You don't trust yourself, your judgment. You can't discern what to do, which way to turn. Wonderful thing if you're at this place, though. With your eyes to heaven, neither know we what to do. With your eyes looking up to God in prayer, neither know we what to do. Oh, you know something. There's a God in heaven that regards the prayer of the destitute, that doesn't despise their prayer. Oh, this kind and gracious and merciful Lord, who brings down and then lifts up, who kills and makes alive, who strips sinners of their strength and their hope in themselves, and empty they are then filled with his grace and his love. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And then the word comes, be not afraid, nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Oh, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Lead me. You see, you and I, we must be led out of ourselves. We must be led away from any hope in ourselves. He leads the blind by a way that they know not. And if you and I are to be found in heaven at last, it will be by the Lord's gracious leading here below, as he leads us out and away from any hope in ourselves, as he leads us out and away from trusting in anything of ourselves. We must not trust in any of our own righteousness. We need the Lord to reveal to us each the actual state and condition of our righteousness, and see it for what it is. It is filthy rags. It is nothing that merits heaven. Everything we've ever done, however good, it is done by a fallen sinner. It is done and mixed with sin. And our garment, our righteousness is riddled with holes and cannot be patched up. And if you are striving to mend it, friend, you are wasting your time. And I wouldn't discourage you from seeking to do what is right in the sight of God. But that isn't right. If you are building a righteousness of your own. And now it's right to have a desire to live a godly life and to do what is right. But friends, it will never, ever merit heaven. It won't. It will not. You will find it will come up short. You will die in a deluded state, and you will perish eternally. Friends, it is to see it for what it is. My best, listen to it, my best is stained and dyed with sin. My all is nothing worth. Lead me then to the rock that is higher than I.
Oh, it is to see our righteousness as filthy rags. To see that if we are working out our own righteousness, we are working in vain. And may the Lord apply these things to each of our hearts. There's only one foundation. There is only one life. And that is the life of Christ. He and He alone has lived a life worthy of eternal glory. He and He alone, for His people, lived a sinless life worthy of heaven at last. He and He alone. Oh, friends, may we see it. Something of ours and the necessity of His. Oh, friends, that there must be for you and I to be made willing to cast aside any hope in ourselves, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a guilty sinner, to venture truly in the sentiment of the hymn, "Nothing in my hand I bring." Can you come like that? You know, these are words, but they, when there's a reality to them, can you do it? Will you? You know, it's to be led, isn't it? Led away from ourselves. Led to Him. That we might come to Him. That we might find Him. Able and willing to save us from our sin. All the time we're coming with something. We're not coming in that right way. Oh, we have to lay aside everything and truly come, as the hymn says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling." Oh, that finished work. That's what we think of, don't we? That's what I think of when I think of His cross. A finished work. I think of that triumphant cry as He had suffered all and nothing left for Him to suffer. As He had put away every sin, as everything that was laid on Him in Gethsemane had been borne away. And had been dealt with, and He had been punished for. He cried out, "It is finished." Oh, this, friends, is the rock, isn't it? The rock, Christ Jesus. That smitten rock. Lead me to the rock. To the rock. Empty I am, devoid of anything worthy of heaven, nothing good to bring, sin mixed with all I do, guilty, condemned by God, His law testifying against me. And nothing but guilty written over me. Lead me to the rock. Oh, those waves of temptation. You know, there are very real temptations. Particularly when a soul is exercised and a concern is given and some questions are being asked inwardly. Am I right? Am I ready for heaven? Am I ready to stand before God? And Satan, he seeks to to stir up a storm of doubts and fears and unbelief. And he has much, really, at his disposal, doesn't he? It doesn't take much for him to make us feel unworthy. We painfully feel it at times, our unworthiness. We hang our heads in shame at how we are and how we have been. It doesn't take much for him to kick a storm up of unbelief when we look at what we deserve. And how can we get beyond it? And how can we look above it? The things that testify against us. They're plain to see when the Lord is pleased to reveal it. There is inescapable. Sin is written over everything we've done. It's marred everything. And we find the word of God testifies against us to that regard. We read what is expected, what God demands, and we come short, and we have come short. And Satan is pleased to use those things and to buffet us with them, that he might fill our hearts with thoughts of eternal punishment, separation from God, no place among the living family for us, no hope in Jesus for us. And these are very real waves, and they buffet the Lord's dear children. Lead me to the rock. What a precious thing if they do. Oh, when those waves are rolling over, wave after wave, and we feel to be drowning under the weight of our guilt and our sin. Oh, only surely the prayer of the publican prevails, doesn't it? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, when dear Hezekiah was in that day of trouble, you know, what a mercy if you and I know something of that same experience. You know, it won't be, I'm sure, just as that, with a prophet coming and saying to you, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. But those times where there is that anguish and distress, what did it do to Hezekiah? How did he respond? He turned his face to the wall and he prayed. He sought his God. He sought for the mercy that is in God. Oh, and friends, what about you and me? Oh, is that us? In our times of sorrow and distress, to turn to the Lord. Oh, to be brought to pour out our heart, as dear Hezekiah did. And we read, as he prayed, oh, the Lord was pleased to hear and answer his prayer. He said, I reckon till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like as a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. That's the cry. Lead me, isn't it? Undertake for me. Lead me. Bring me. Show me. Deliver me. And the Lord did. And he goes on to say, O Lord, by these things men live. By these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. He was facing death, and he found life. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, brought him up out of the miry clay, setting his feet on that rock. Thou hast in love to my soul delivered me from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Oh, friends, that's it, isn't it? Christ revealed, as we just sung, Christ revealed, Christ made precious, this rock of our faith and hope, this rock, Christ Jesus, for him to put himself between and stand between in garments dyed in blood. Oh, that when we look for our sins, we find a smiling Jesus. When we look and see those where those sins were, we find the Lord himself standing between. Our sins not behind our back to follow us to the grave, but behind his back and remembered no more. Taken out of the way, himself in between. Oh, that solid rock. That refuge, that strength. Oh, we had it mentioned twice in those next readings this evening. And there shall be a tabernacle. This is Isaiah 4 verse 6. There shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, for a covert from storm and from rain, a tabernacle. Oh, our Lord and Saviour, tabernacling, dwelling among men, taking upon himself a holy human body and soul, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, that his people might have that refuge. A man shall be a hiding place from the storm. Oh, that glorious person, that glorious rock of our salvation. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Oh, to be found sheltering in that cleft of the rock. There is a place by me, said the Lord to Moses. There is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Oh, what a wonderful thought, that there is a place for guilty, undone sinners. There is a refuge for the lost, for the weary, for the out of the way. Oh, it's that refuge in Jesus. It's without money. It's without price. It's a broken and a contrite heart. That's what God will not despise. Oh, do you have that sweet qualification this evening? A broken and a contrite heart. You find a need of him in your heart. Do you find that aching void the world cannot fill? Do you find you cannot abide the thought of dying outside of Christ Jesus? Oh, that desire in your heart to be found among the sheep of Christ's fold, who have found that refuge, that place of safe retreat, though unworthy, yet have found he as the door, has opened his loving arms, wide enough to embrace even you, poor guilty sinner, and to draw you into his sheepfold, and there to shut you in, just as Noah was shut into that ark and found it a place of refuge from that great storm. So you, finding him, shutting you in, that you might be safe at last, lead me. Oh, we cannot find the way. We're blind. Oh, we're weak. We have no strength. We have no wisdom. Lead me. Oh, that he might take us by the hand and lead us. I must close, but he says, doesn't he, in through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 42, and I will bring. I won't tell them. I will bring them. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make light, darkness, light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Then lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach. And our friends at Oakington hold their Thanksgiving service on Wednesday. Let us close with hymn 1104. Convinced as a sinner to Jesus I come, informed by the gospel for such there is room. Overwhelmed with sorrow for sin will I cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hymn 1104.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.